Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day out there with the Packers not making any more headlines before they have to. As we all know, the real G's move in silence, and they have the biggest G in the world, and they're keeping it quiet and in-house. Not a whole lot to report. They do have a new linebackers coach, but outside of that, no announcements, no press conferences scheduled, nothing. As we twist in the wind as Packers fans, waiting for any kind of update from the green and gold. With that said, I can't say I'm surprised. This is how they like it. It's like how they like to operate. One thing I did want to talk about, though, as we await any word from 1265 Lombardi, was the vision going forward for this team and this program. As you guys know, I always talk about how it is a program, setting the course, as it were, for the team, the franchise, and with Ed Policy deciding to bank on continuity and bring back both Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst as they report to him. I do hope this is a time where there's maybe a reset, a locking in, if you will, on the vision going forward and what has gone right with this partnership and maybe what has maybe not even gone wrong, but where there has been maybe some disjointedness. Obviously, we hear from LaFleur throughout the season and then Gutekunst whenever he's available in the offseason about how much they communicate and how much they're always in communication. You know, Matt always says they talk every day, especially in season, right? And we know that Gutekunst has talked often about it being a 365 day a year job, right? There's never off. You're always looking to acquire talent, always looking to improve your team. And that is all obviously very true and well and good. And I understand all that. But you do look at some developments, especially over the course of this past season, and do wonder if there was a bit, maybe not a miscommunication, but a disjointed kind of communication when it comes to what Brian Gutekunst and the personnel group was providing Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff and what ended up being utilized. Obviously, the biggest number one kind of area or thing you can point to is the drafting of Matthew Golden in the first round, a supreme talent who I thought took advantage of opportunities that were given to him, though those opportunities were few and far between. And we heard both Stenovich and LaFleur talk late in the season about how there were just guys in front of him on the in the pecking order, as it were. And I think that was an actual quote that was used. And it feels like if you're a personnel guy, you're thinking, well, I've given you talent to work with. And I get it is a long-term investment, and especially in Green Bay and especially in the first round, Ted Thompson used to always talk about how, you know, that selection, especially the earlier you are in the draft, the idea is that it is a long-term investment. But if you look around the league, you know, there are teams that are getting a whole hell of a lot more contribution from their young players, especially first-year players that help them turn things around or improve in certain areas or improve in certain parts of their depth chart. And when you have an offense that it had been stubbing its toe the way it had at times in the middle of this season, yet Matthew Golden couldn't get a look, couldn't get more opportunities, I do think that it presents itself as a potential kind of, and I don't want to say rift, but even just a kind of a lack of cohesion between your personnel group and your coaching staff. Offensive line feels like another place that you could look when talking about bringing in Aaron Banks and making the kind of move with the idea that you're going to move Elgton Jenkins, a guy who had played very well for you for a number of years at guard, and your solution to losing Josh Myers in free agency was to move your excellent left guard who had started for you for a number of years and then put him at center. And I don't know that that was, you know, made in conjunction, a decision made in conjunction with the coaching staff, maybe as much as it could have been or should have been. Maybe there would have been more pushback if the coaches were more involved in that conversation. I won't belabor this and go down a list, so to speak, but it does feel like, you know, when you're talking about body types and the things they're going to be looking at both in free agency and the draft, but particularly in the draft, you know, you look at the fact that LaFleur and his staff haven't been at the combine in the last three, four seasons, right? clearly their input not needed or necessary. Is that a reflection of a bit of a Chinese wall going up between those two areas? You know, I just think there needs to be some kind of harsh, maybe not harsh, but a very raw conversation. And perhaps that is some of the stuff that is being talked about now as we wait for an announcement from 1265 Lombardi, trying to get the vision coalesced and, for lack of a better term, set, you know, between personnel and coaching. Now, this is all, you know, guesswork on my part. I am just completely looking at this from an outside point of view without any knowledge of what goes on between or inside closed doors. But you certainly look at the season the Packers had in 2025, and if you told me, well, that's a really disjointed operation, I would very much agree with that assessment. And it's not a pointing of fingers at any one area or any one person, but it does feel like things need to get a little bit more in lockstep heading into 2026. And again, I do think Ed Policy has made it clear by bringing back this group that he thinks they can do it, work together towards a common goal, towards bringing another title back to Titletown. But certainly they need to make sure everyone's rowing in the same direction. We'll see. I can't wait to hear from Policy, Gutekunst, LaFleur, and the potential for what they're thinking going forward and changes that need to be made to get them where they want to go, right? But that's neither here nor there. That's just me blabbering into a microphone. Hope you're having a great time wherever you are, mixing it up in the comment section. Hello, everybody. Good to see you all. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Okay, folks, what's going on? How we doing? We got folks already lining up. We got Nick. What's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Who is slash are the top priority extension slash S extensions? Go Pack, go. It's a good question. A very good question. It's interesting because so much gets talked about, right, when you're talking about guys who are going to get cut, cap casualties and things like that. But there certainly are guys who are coming up on potential kind of conversations, if you were. I think Tucker Kraft is probably one of the top names on that list, right, heading into next year. And there's little doubt that some of the kind of guys that you probably would have talked to, whether it's Kraft or Devontae Wyatt, coming off injuries, that can make things a little bit trickier, right? I think Jaden Reed is a guy you're going to hear about probably. But yeah, I think we'll see what shapes up salary cap wise once they've made decisions as far as heading into free agency and creating cap space with some of the cap cuts they're going to make. But yeah, there's little doubt that there are a number of guys who will be coming up next year, I think is the big, that's kind of the big sea change as far as they're probably going to be pinching some pennies this offseason in view of guys they're going to be wanting to re-sign next offseason. That's my guess. Neil Flynn, what's up, man? Random Packer, Desmond Howard. Doesn't feel very random, my guy, having a Super Bowl MVP in the mix, but sure, we'll allow it. Joe, how are you, sir? Packers lost last three games of 2024, last five of 2025, had trouble finishing games in 2025. Is fatigue either mental or physical an issue? I think the physical part is something that you heard Micah Parsons not even indirectly mention, but straight up mention in his kind of final media availability there in the locker room. I think everything is on the table as far as trying to find solutions. And, you know, those losing those last games of the year, each, you know, the three in 2024 and then the five game losing streak at the end of the season, you know, you got to look at some stuff with the injuries to the star players. And you also have to look at the fact that if Romeo Doubs just falls on the ball and the onside kick, they win that game. And then we're not talking about a five game losing streak, et cetera. Right. But, you know, if your star player is calling people out point blank and saying, we need to be better conditioned, and if we have to play 80 plays, then we play 80 plays, and we don't have a dip in productivity or a dip in our kind of, you know, want to as it were. If Micah Parsons is saying that into a microphone publicly, it would suggest to me that, yeah, there's been some talk. And I would think that's something that they're going to talk about a lot this offseason. That'd be my guess. Dan, how are you, sir? Look at what happened when we drafted several wide receivers. We used them their rookie season to great aplomb. You know, yeah. And then for whatever reason this year, that rookie receiver couldn't really get on the field that much. And maybe there's a lack of trust there. Maybe he's running wrong routes, which I understand. But at some point, got to think you can gin up a few plays to get the ball in the young man's hands. And it sure didn't seem to kind of dissuade them from using Savion Williams, who obviously had that big fumble against Carolina, still got the ball after that a couple of times before going down with injury. Yeah, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen them do it before. Although I will say, even before Matt LaFleur was in town, but, you know, traditionally in Green Bay, they do not like to feature rookie wide receivers as a rule, right? It has not been their MO in Green Bay. But really feels like, you know, you take a guy in the first round for a reason, because of his skill set. And as the season wore on and you were having issues on offense the way the Packers were, feels like a no-brainer to try and get him at least a little bit more involved, right? That's just me. Jason, how are you doing, man? Do you think Justice's article about the lack of coaching experience / salaries played a small part in how Matt is now hiring coaches? I love Justice Mosqueda. Just talked to him a couple days ago here on the channel. No, I don't think anything Justice or most people write on the outside pushes Matt or any coach to do much of anything when it comes to how they want to operate their football team. Now, that said, that doesn't invalidate anything Justice wrote or any of the work that he did, but I'm pretty sure Matt LaFleur had a pretty solid idea of what he wanted to do prior to anything that Justice wrote. But it is nice to see them going down a path on the defensive side of the ball where if you're a coach on that side of the ball, you've got some kind of coordinator experience in your background. That's nice. Got a guy who sat in the big chair, at least in some way, shape, or form. That is a nice, what would be considered a change of pace, right? No question about it. Simitovich, what's up, man? Heading to New York City this weekend by MSG. Where do I go? As far away from MSG as possible? I kid. Get down to the village. Go to Kettle of Fish. Tell Patrick I say hello and tell him I sent you. That is my one standing recommendation. And hey, if you're, you know, really feeling brave, you could get on the train and come out to Queens and go to the Museum of the Moving Image here in Astoria. The best museum that most folks don't visit because it's not in Manhattan. But it is outstanding and worth the trip. And seriously, it's like one stop across the river. That's where you should go. Evil Badger, what's up, man? Jason Wilde said that Banks might be one and done. Salary restructuring might be necessary. Will this O-line be able to protect Love with all the free agents on the O-line? All the free agents, you mean the open spots if people leave? Don't really understand that last part. But, I mean, you can't say it's an impossibility. I think they would most certainly like to take another look at that contract. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I think there's every possibility that Banks is still the starter at left guard entering next season. And something we've talked about a lot here on Daily is that he was playing hurt for the majority of the season right out of the gate. Maybe they think, okay, let's kind of reset and get him healthy and take another run at it, right? But is the possibility there that they approach him about a restructure and he balks at it and they decide to move on? Yeah, I got to think that's possible. But to your point, what I think you're saying here is, at some point, you're losing a lot of guys, right? And you're definitely going to lose Rashid Walker. You're going to be waiting on Zach Tom, which is kind of the one real kind of worry spot, I think, on the line heading into, for certain, the start of next season. Because, you know, you look at his level of play and how what everyone talks about Micah going down that Denver game for good reason, obviously. But what few remember is that Zach Tom went down in that same game. You know, and things really changed offensively once that happened. They had been humming on offense those last three or four games. So that, to me, is the biggest concern. But, you know, Belton seems to have settled in at right guard. I think there's a question at center, obviously. But then I would suspect, again, Banks is back and Jordan Morgan is your left tackle. So, you know, some decisions to be made there. Very interested to see how they approach the Banks situation. Let's say that. Styling and profiling. How you doing, man? Nags, Kyle here. Another day, I'm glad I'm a cheesehead and not a Browns / Bills fan. Oh my gosh, the Brown situation. Holy cow. Whoo, baby. All I can say is I'm really glad social media wasn't around in the 70s and 80s as the Packers were like bumbling and fumbling the way the Browns do now. Because, man, that would have been a hard, hard existence. Like, it was hard enough watching them lose all the time. But then to have the compounding factor of 24-hour social media just beating you down with it, like, no thanks. And I do find it funny watching everyone kind of highlight Myles Garrett's Instagram story with the, you know, exhausted meme. My guy, you know, you wrote a whole farewell to the Browns and their fans and whatever last year as a leverage point, and then you took the money. You took the money. You stayed in Cleveland. You had a chance, force your way out, and then you took the money. You know, miss me. Miss me with all of that. E4, what's up, brother? Audio glitch with my German soccer team. Just sound from on the pitch and crowd noise. No announcers. It was glorious. Can the Vast Cheesehead TV network set up something similar for Packers games? What, you mean you don't want watch party? Is that what you're telling me? You know, Amazon has that for some contests, as does ESPN when they do the big kind of championship game stuff. As far as just eliminating announcers on your television, we're not quite there yet. I'm sure that technology is out there somewhere, but Cheesehead TV is not your avenue, unfortunately. Jerry, what's going on, man? Who is your draft crush right now? Do not have one. Still searching around. Orange Julius has a great nickname, but still haven't really dove into his tape. Neil Flynn, what's going on, man? Does Matthew Golden have a breakout year in 2026? God bless it. I hope so. How does he not? He better. He better be featured. Better have at least 8 touchdowns and 1,000 yards receiving. Boy, howdy, why'd you draft him if he doesn't, right? Yes, he better have a breakout season. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing here? Go, Pat, go. How are you, man? Issue with Matthew Golden, maybe a game IQ issue. Think thoughts? I'm thinking you're typing think thoughts, and I'm really having trouble following you there, brother. Game IQ issue. This is always my favorite. Now, maybe trouble grasping the offense or trouble with some of the concepts they're asking him to kind of, you know, be able to discern at the snap of the football, considering he has to be on the same page with the quarterback and leverage and all that and pre-snap look, post-snap look, all that. Yeah, maybe. But I have real problems with game IQ as a phrase. Like, Matthew Golden knows ball. Matthew Golden knows more ball than anyone in this chat. Very much including myself. Like, I don't know, man. Now, could he still be running wrong routes and making wrong adjustments? Of course, certainly. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised. He's a rookie, right? He was a rookie. But it ain't like he doesn't know the game. You know what I mean? Jerry, what's up? I like San Diego State cornerback C. Johnson for pick 52. I think corner is certainly going to be an area they're going to look at. I think I've seen some rumblings and some conversation around the defensive line, defensive tackle class, which I guess at the Senior Bowl, they were balling out yesterday across that front. And we all know how the Packers love Senior Bowl prospects. In fact, if you haven't checked out Newt's recap from day 2 of the Senior Bowl, make sure you do that. It's right here on the channel. I do think corners, you know, we've seen Gutekunst a couple of times now, double and even triple up at positions in drafts in the past. I think corners that one this year. Now, if it's Johnson, who knows? But I do think that's the obvious, most obvious position where they're going to need an influx of talent. There we go. Mike Witt. Dominique Orange, defensive tackle from Iowa State, is my draft crush. Guy's a beast. Like I said, like what I've heard, I've only seen highlights. I haven't really looked at the tape yet. But again, like everything so far. Garrett went full Giannis, never go full Giannis. Soder, come on now. Interesting you say that. I had a nice little back and forth with Dan Schaefer today, talking about how Giannis is beloved in the state of Wisconsin, more so than any other athlete in the history of Wisconsin. And then I asked how old he was, and he said 40, which makes total sense. Total sense. But, you know, folks who weren't around, if you can't tell me where you were when Brett Favre threw that touchdown to Kittrick Taylor, outside of like, I was a baby, or I was like a toddler, and like, okay, or I wasn't born yet, and you didn't experience the 70s and 80s prior to that moment, and everything that happened afterwards with Brett in his time in Green Bay. All right. I understand why you would make that leap. But yeah, man, it sucks. Everything I see about Giannis and Milwaukee and the seemingly inevitable breakup that's to come here, I hate it, because Giannis has been amazing. He has been incredible, not only as a steward for the Bucks and, you know, the NBA, but for the city of Milwaukee, the way he just completely expands the interest and the level of kind of commitment and engagement from not just NBA fans and, you know, basketball fans here in America, but literally around the world. There's a group of old Greek dudes who get together all the time here in Astoria to watch his games. True story. You know, like, he is an incredible ambassador. I have zero like qualms with that. But to see this now playing out like day after day on my Twitter feed about the potential trade that seems now to be inevitable. Sad stuff, man. Sad stuff. Absolutely. What else we got here, folks? Go Pack Go, what's up? Potential Jair reunion in the near future? I don't think that's in the cards. Don't forget, he stepped away from football. Don't you remember that? I mean, I think people have forgotten, you know? Went to Baltimore and then got released and was picked up by the Eagles and was all set to play, and then he stepped away from football. Yeah, I think that chapter is probably written. Mike Witt, what's up, man? I can't wait for the NFL coaches picture this offseason for the Johnson LaFleur drama. Mike, I would be lying if I said I hadn't thought about it, but I absolutely have. Cannot wait to see where everyone's sitting there at the owner's meeting picture down in Florida. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack Go.